My name is Lorraine Garvey of District 32. I've got the absolute privilege today of having a conversation with Jonathan Marlowe of Exceed Real Estate around sales teams. What do we need to know? But Jonathan, first of all, how are you?
Good. How are you? Thanks
That's
for
a
having me.
pretty nice background you got on there.
Yeah, this office was another person's office in the company previously.
Oh, so you're not owning it.
But not yeah, just I just didn't choose it. I didn't get involved in the process.
It's nice in
But
the
I actually
age
quite
of
like it.
filters.
Yeah, it's quite I quite like it. Like it's yeah, but I didn't get involved in choosing it.
In nature, the very, very nature environment. There.
Yeah.
So, Jonathan, I'm really excited to explore this topic. I always know it's going to be a good conversation when I'm really interested in what you've got to say around it because it fits where I'm at in my business, looking at building and developing a sales team. But first of all, Jonathan, give us an introduction to your business and what are you doing at the minute?
You mean in terms of what
So
area of
what?
industry we're in?
Yep. So what is Exceed Real Estate? What are you doing? I know there's the tricks in the title there, but just a
So,
little intro.
predominantly a residential real estate agency, but we do have a commercial arm as well, which is where we're in the process of putting energy into that. We manage just shy of 5,000 properties across Perth metropolitan area. We have, we do about 480 sales a year, as well. In context, the team that puts that together, we're running a team of, 30 in the sales company, and we're running a team of approximately 70 in the property management company.
Wow. These are busy.
And all of this journey began in my living room back in 2016, where there was three of us.
Three of you in 2016.
Yeah.
So you've gone from 3 to 100 in 8 years.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's
It's been
substantial. That's great.
like we've learned a lot on this journey. Yeah. And we've learned a lot about ourselves. We've learned a lot about what we need to do at each junction. Like we didn't start out having the knowledge that we have now. We've had to accumulate that knowledge, and we've had to continually work on that to get us ready for the next stage. So we have definitely, what we did start out with was an attitude that we didn't have all the answers.
Which is cool, right? That's the first tick there, I guess.
Look, maybe I hope it's cool. What for us, it's a necessity. So, the minute that we think we've got all the answers, the minute that we think we're nailing this piece, will be a concerning day for me.
You stop sharing.
Because then I feel like, I feel like we're possibly at the point where we can't grow anymore. We might start heading backwards. We see the business and we view it as a very much, as an organism, at its core. And every organism is either growing or it's dying.
At that point where there were three of you in your living room, did you know you were going to be 100?
No, not at all.
Okay.
It didn't. And obviously we had a goal for continuous improvement and continuous growth. That we already, shared the same values on. The was there a goal to get to this? No. Was there a goal to get it to any one of the junctions? No, other than there was immediate short-term goals and checkpoints along the way that we knew we wanted to hit, but they were never destinations. And we still don't have a destination. We have a continual growth mindset. So, We're not saying, okay, well, we want to get to this. We've got a checkpoint that we can now see based on what horizons you can see at any point on the journey. And the horizon we can see today is a different horizon to that we could not have possibly seen back then. So we do have a place that we're heading for that horizon, but once we get to that, there'll be a new horizon. So we've always got one eye on the horizon.
So what was your role then at that when there was three of you? You were a real estate agent?
So
You're, I think, knocking on doors?
I was doing all of the selling, and handling that side of the business. My business partner was overseeing the property management side and the finances. And then we had one of our, who's now a fellow director, and was a director and licensee at that point. His role was to actually do the work of property management. And then, over time, it evolved out of necessity.
Nice.
Yeah,
So,
look, it's been a good journey.
it's anybody in business, we can say nice at the end of it. It comes, it's like this, right? Every
Yeah.
hour, every day, every week, every month, we're up, down, up, down, and
Yeah.
learning, learning, learning. And I think also, almost all business owners who reach a certain maturity in business will talk about the personal development that's needed to get there.
Yeah.
That in itself is the growth. That's where the growth is, or a lot of the growth is. It's about, who do you need to become to manage and handle and accept that growth.
Yeah, look, and you need to be the person first. Like I think it's the belief of be do have. You need to be the person first, and then you'll do the actions, and then the having arrives later. So it's having a very playing a long game, not waiting for the having to as evidence that you need to be. And I think a lot of the time in business and in life, you can wait for the having to start being a certain person, but you need to be that person first. Having comes as a result of being that person long enough.
So you've developed a new role from door knocking, and selling the properties to now managing an extensive sales team. And that's your full-time role now in the organization. Was that an automatic transition? Did you just know that that's where you were going? Were you nominated? Is it where you shine? Is it?
Yes and no. I mean, I think I knew what it didn't need to look like. I didn't know what 100% what it needed to look like, other than there was an intuitive understanding. And I built the business before, a number of times. I'd seen it rise, seen it come down, seen it rise, seen it come down. And each time on those journeys, there was the common denominator was that it was too reliant on me selling and too reliant on me being the main income producer in the business. Each time we grew, I wasn't able to give the team the time and attention they need. So I knew I needed to step away from being that person who was the main income producer to be able to develop a team that could replace me. And, up until a certain point in my life, that was impossible to do because you become, when you're the main income producer, you earn an income that's commensurate with that. You build a lifestyle that fits that income. And then, you end up trapped in that cycle where you can't step away from that income. And I needed to step away from that income to be able to build it properly. So it was a sacrifice in that space. And that sacrifice, it was a lot longer than, what most of us when we go into business hope it's going to be. When we get on the business, we're wanting to replace our income straight away, right? And we're wanting to get there as quickly as we can. And I think, this journey definitely, I knew at that point that there was never going to be an immediate replacement of income. It took me, and I still haven't fully replaced it. what I'm to,
Yeah.
right? And so I'm 8 years on, right? But having said that, there's a flexion point now where, within my line of sight now, the replacing of that income is very, very near, right? So, but I had to, and I think it was 2019. So, where we went, okay, I can see already I'm starting the same pattern again. I'm building it the same way it's always been built before. We need to stop right now. And I need to go, okay, let's step away from selling and let's just focus on that, sacrifice the income. And I lived on minimum wage for 3 years. Luckily, I had a divorce take care of all my assets, so I didn't have any mortgages. Didn't have any mortgages that I needed to service anymore. And so I was able to live on minimum wage for that period. And then gradually started increasing that. But, I think most of us are kind of thinking we're going to start a business, we're going to leave a job that's earning us good money, we're going to start a business, and we're hoping to replace that income inside of 2 months. Do you know what I mean? Like, that's the reality. And so the one thing that for me was key was I knew the reason why I kept contracting every time was I was never able to develop the people properly. Right. And it's a cycle that I see repeated in our industry consistently, still to this day. And then, it's a cycle that until someone steps away from being that person, they're never going to build a business that's going to last. And I think it's not just our industry, I think it's every industry, right?
I think
3 years and on minimum wage. Do you know what I mean? Most people don't go, oh, well, I'm going to step away from $300,000 a year, $400,000 a year, and I'm going to go to minimum wage for 3 years to build something up.
yeah, and I think I've seen this a lot over the years where, that to be the best salesperson, and often, the best salesperson in the business is the owner.
Yeah.
And because you built it, it's your baby, it's your passion. So
Yeah.
to hand over the revenue aspect of the business that is, the core driver of sustainability, survival,
Yeah.
to hand over that to, I've just seen in the past, that's a really difficult handover, where it's the salesperson who's the owner, and then trying to hand that over to a team, knowing that you could probably do it bigger, better, faster, more,
Yeah.
but in swapping that for the, but it's not sustainable. We can't grow. How was
Well,
that for you?
yeah, totally. Well, it's that's what that, and that's my point, right? You're either building a business or you're building an income. And like for me, it was, okay, the building an income hasn't worked for 24 years, or 25 years of me being in this industry. And I knew it's funny because I remember a time where, I spoke to the aforementioned, the divorce. So there was a partner that was attached to that divorce. And I remember having that conversation saying, I think we need to sell all our assets, maybe just keep the house we're in, and then I need to step away from selling and I need to develop a team. And the conversation, and we had, nice vehicles in the driveway, all that stuff. And the conversation was, oh no, we can't do that, right? And so it never went any further, right? But I knew then that something needed to change. And like I said, it took the catalyst of all of that stuff happening. And so I'm very fortunate and very blessed by that journey because it forced the change, right? And but to build a business, you've got to not need the income from the business. That's I think to build a good business, it's going to be sustainable, right? Whilst you need the income from it, you fall into the trap, like you just said, of being you go out there and you sell, and you are the great salesperson, and you do make it work, right? But then the minute you stop selling, the business is gone, and that's the challenge. Right, is to move it from you not being that person.
The big challenge, big capital letters.
Yeah, and it's like the it's not been a journey that's kind of just hasn't come without sacrifice and hasn't come without personal cost. And but it's been an enriching journey in that front as well, and we've learned so much on that journey. And my business partner was in the same mindset, the he wasn't drawing an income at all, right, for a number of years, right? And the he had investments behind him. He didn't need any sort of income at all, because I needed something, but was willing to accept that, whatever I could earn out there was just forget that, right? I think it's that piece, right? Because I think what happens as well is we get caught in, well, this is what I've always earned. Why would I start a business to earn less? Right. And, it's, I don't know, like the more I've looked at this and the more businesses that I've, read about, the big businesses, they're seriously big businesses, started with that level of sacrifice, not started with someone replacing their income in the first couple of months.
Yep.
The ones that replace their income in the first couple of months never go to that level until they make that decision to sacrifice the person's income.
Yep.
Really.
That's right. So you're now, you are where you are. So your full-time role now is developing the sales team.
Building, coaching, developing people. Like, I mean, we see ourselves as developers of people. We're not in real estate. Now,
Nice.
if you were to ask us at the leadership team, the people that are have the responsibility of the people in our charge, as Simon said, say, right? We are here to develop people. It just so happens that the real estate is the vehicle that we do that with.
And is that now as exciting to you as it was to go out and make the sales yourself? Have you found that?
Look, actually, I think it's more exciting.
Nice.
Because I still get those moments where I can, give some coaching, some training, some, strategic advice on, what steps to take from here, depending on where we see this, particular situation, client interaction, what stage it's at. And then they go out and execute and they get the result, right? That's very gratifying, right? And then they come back in and they're excited by that, and now they're feeling empowered and now they're feeling confidence in that. So now you start building that foundation, you're able to give them better advice and more advice, and you start, really building the layers up of that person. And like I've got people in my business today that I've trained up that earn more money than I was earning at my peak as a salesperson by a long shot, right? And that's exciting, right? So, and probably, to be fair, today it's not about just us. It's, like what we see now is that the entire team is involved in being custodians of how to, develop people. And so everyone is stepping up to that plate to develop people. So we're developing people faster. They're getting to those milestones quicker, because everyone is on that journey to develop them. And so now, that's the new, excitement and reward, is seeing that process take place now, that it's not just us driving that. It's everyone driving that, and it's that culture of success that they're all very, very heavily contributing to.
I think that's the key word down there, is the culture. That's why people stick around or not. So what is the most challenging for you then in managing a team of that size, particularly in the sales arena? What's the biggest challenges
Well,
for
the
you?
biggest challenge to date has been about in the last couple of years. So the first big challenge was actually, communicating that information and getting buy-in from individuals to go on a journey with you, right? And that challenge was a lot easier because I'd spent years training people outside of the organization, so on. So that was probably, but still was, because there's people that come to you with a level of experience and they've got the stripes on their shoulder already that says, why do I need to listen to you, right? So there's that. So those were the early day challenges. They sometimes are still there, but they don't loom large in our space now. Where the challenges, then morphed into was, getting, the all the people on board, because there were people that were employed in that journey that were in it just for themselves. So then the challenge was, well, how do we develop a vision and a culture where everyone's in it for everyone? And so that's been the last few years, really working through that. And we're seeing mounting evidence really, but that's still work, right? So it's nurturing that team and getting them behaving as a team and getting them parking their own stuff, and recognizing that if they're part of something and they're helping others, that they're helping themselves, right? And especially in real estate, because they are very individual and maverick, by nature. So that's been the big challenge. And then maintaining that cultural position and then working out what does that messaging look like? And then, that messaging's evolved, in the last couple of years. And it's vastly different today to what it was 2 years ago, right? And it's had to evolve with the needs of the team and the way the team's evolved. And so, yeah, it's been how do we find that right messaging? How do we find that, how do we create those habits and those behaviors and where we've got everyone on board is, crew driving it in the same direction, not some that are passengers coming along for a journey that's for their own benefit and joy, right? Not that are terrorists that are on the journey for their own benefit and joy and will try to disrupt, because it serves their ego, right? It's the first one is, sorry, which is everyone is crew working for the better for everyone. And that's been, that's the ongoing work now as we see it, right? Now that'll probably, I don't know like where that goes from here, because this we're very, very committed to that. Other than we already know that now it's we've got this, it's replacing, it's building the leaders up within the team. So, we've got this cultural piece now, we're starting to see evidence of it. So it's still the ongoing work of that, but it's also one eye right now on getting those leaders to step, into take on more responsibility and make us superfluous as leaders.
Nice. Yep. Which would be nice, yeah.
Yeah. And that's the journey now. Like that's one eye we've got on that, and one eye is on managing that culture.
So for anybody out there at the minute who might be sitting at a small sales team, or they're looking at, they're listening to this interview and it's the turning point. They're ready to replace the salary for the team, and they're looking to build a team. What do we need to know? That if you had to give us a few really key takeaways on building a team, what do we need to look out for? And I know you've shared a little bit there around, the journey for you now is the culture, but what would be a few really, what would I need to look out for myself, in building
Yeah,
a
well,
team?
I think, look, and it's hard to say that there was mistakes made for sure, but I do think there were mistakes made on who we employed,
Right.
because We did initially employ for revenue, which, maybe we had to get to the place we're now at, right? And so, there could be an argument that, well, if we didn't have that, we might not have had enough steam to get to the place we're now at, where we don't employ people for revenue now. We employ them for attitude and what we can grow them into, right? But, like becoming a coach rather than a poacher, becoming a coacher, right?
Like that.
So, and for us, it's, I would say you're better off if you can do the coaching piece primarily. Then that's great. If there's some need to do some poaching early to bring some core in, right, then you need to do that, but you need to recognize that down the track you're going to have to exit those people that you poached, because they are not going to fit your culture, right? The
Wow.
yeah, and that's one of the things that we learned was, the starting with the end in mind. And we knew, having said that, I've got to say, we had conversations right through that journey where we went, I don't know if this person's for there. This person's for now. And there were two or three, but they're not for there.
Yeah.
Right. And at some point, we're going to have to face the conversations around, how do we help that person free up their future to go elsewhere?
Okay,
So
well, that's a nice
I think it's
journey.
start with that end in mind is number one.
Okay.
Number two would be, very much try to resist the need to replace your income as long as you possibly can. Right? Keep mindful of that, because that will cause you to, if you want to start getting in replacing your income, it'll cause you to start going out and selling, which will undo your ability to be a coach. Right? Whilst you're out there and got those competitive demands on you, it's very hard to give the time and attention you need to grow people quickly. Right? And you need to grow them quickly, right? You need to refine that. Number three would be start working on the process of how do you refine and develop them, right? What does your, training look like? Document that journey, and then look for ways to improve that journey. And that's, where you end up with a good training manual. End up with a good training and induction system. You end up with, people that are on board filling roles within that induction system, and so on. And then you're getting buy-in from others who are helping, to grow people. And that's, all of that has to be, that end in mind has to be, very clear. And so actually, there would be one more part to that then, is, be very clear on your vision. And if I could have one thing back, it would be we started on getting our vision clearly articulated to the team and our values clearly articulated to the team probably a couple of years ago. If I could have started that early in the very beginning, I think we could have done a lot more, a
Yeah,
lot
okay.
quicker.
We're too busy grinding though in the beginning, aren't we?
So,
Hustling.
definitely have a vision and a clearly succinct articulated vision. Like for us, it's redefining the experience, right? That's our trademark, and it's redefining the real estate experience. And so, that goes to
Right.
the heart of everything we're doing, right? It shows up in training, it shows up in habits, it shows up in outcomes with clients, it shows up in conversations with clients, it shows up in what things we won't do as much as what things we will do, right? And so it was really clearly defining that, and then what are the values that underpin that, and making sure the team understand these are the values, and so hire based on those values.
There's years and years in depth, and layers of wisdom there from your own experience, Jonathan. And I think it just, for me, the takeaway there is, it's just different from what you think a conversation, how a conversation might go. around sales and teams and KPIs and performance. And it's peeling those layers away to know that that will come through the right people, the right training, the right support, the right values, the right culture. The outcomes will look after themselves.
Definitely. I mean, we've had people that have created their role in the company. We've had roles that have created, been created out of necessity, but we've had people that have, had a vision for what their role would be and then, created that role. And that's with their vision has been tied into because they knew what our vision was and they saw how their vision would fit and support that. Right. And so they, and that stuff now is where it gets pretty exciting, right? Because you've now got visionaries that are emerging within the business. So yeah,
That's
so and it all begins with that piece there. So, and that's why, like I said, if there was one thing, it would be have that in place in the beginning.
Well, Jonathan, thank you very much for sharing your time with me today. I think you've got an interesting story. I think you've grown very quickly. I think 3 to 100 is pretty quick in an 8-year journey for a business. And obviously that's built on solid values and a clear vision. Like you've articulated, you know where you want to be and you're willing to make the sacrifices to get there. And I think this conversation will be a catalyst for a few people out there and the decision that they make on which way they go on building and developing teams or hitting the numbers, for
Yeah.
that. And I like that term you use, the maverick. Which role are we going to sit in? Are we going to hire people to fill the roles that are required within the culture?
Yeah.
Anything else that you would like to add? Is there anything that I've not asked, Jonathan, that you'd like to share?
There was something you said there that sparked something. Getting back to that vision and values piece and the journey, I would say, really comes back to I've got a clear idea of where I'm heading, but the sooner you give everyone else illuminate and shine a spotlight on it for everyone else is the better. So if I could just repeat that piece, right? Them understanding it and being brought along. If I remember actually, and this is really probably sums it up a little bit. I think it was in Only Three Things the CEO Does, but it may have been one of the other books that I read at that time. There were a couple that I was reading at the same time, and he said that the organizations that are in the Fortune 500 in the world are all training organizations, right? And he didn't mean they're like they sell training. They are training organizations. They train like that at their core, they are developers of people, and that's it, right? So, when someone's at that crossroads in making that decision to transition from being in the business to working on the business, know that if you want to follow, if you want to reach those heights, and I think they're within everyone's capability. And I'm not saying we're there, but I think we've got a long journey to go to get there. But I am saying that the studies have revealed that the companies that are there, they at their core are training organizations. They
Nice.
are, they've got training systems, they've got, they coach and develop people. And that's how they get there. And that had to start somewhere. Now, did it evolve to that? Maybe, right? I suspect it probably started though a lot earlier than just evolving to that.
Some big stuff there, though, some chunky thoughts. There that you're sharing, Jonathan. And yeah, again, I'm sure that it will be a catalyst for someone or something. I'm learning myself on how I can become a better trainer and coach and developer of people. So thank you very much for sharing your time.
No, thank you. And look,
Thank you for
hopefully I've added some value.
you absolutely have. If not for anybody else, for me, Jonathan. No, I'm sure we have. Look, thank you very much. Can I just pop your details in the chat below? so that people can get in contact with you, or any real estate or perhaps keynotes.
That
Yeah,
sounds
would
good.
that be all right?
I'd be happy to do that. Like it's again, it's all part of our brand. So
Jonathan, thank you very much for sharing your time.
thanks, Lorraine. It was much
Bye.
appreciated. Bye.